want to read three different verses of Scripture as a text. First, would you turn with me to Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. This was a real church. They had a real pastor. And they suffered the things that are common to all men. In verse 4, we read what Paul wrote to them one thing, speaking of Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. According to the will of God and our Father. Remember what the scriptures said, that the time would come that if we didn't cut the day's short, nothing would remain. If these 2,000 plus years ago, there was an evil time, God by the Holy Spirit revealing to us, then are going to write to us and us. Let's pray for people. Go to the Gospel of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3, and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Young people, do you have your Bibles with you? Are you reading along with me? I encourage you to bring it home. Christ sitteth in heaven. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, and verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Not your will ye live by, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I want somebody to pray for you. I want somebody to pray for you. You may be seated in the back of your room. Speaking of his death and our relationship with Christ can be a legitimate question as long as all this is done. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Everything, let me put it this way, Christ to us is spirit. There is no way you can know him but by being born of spirit. There is no way you can know the ways of God or anything else except spiritually. So, if you do not believe in this dispensation of the Holy Spirit, you're probably not going to get much out of what I have to say. I know Jesus. You know Jesus. That we know him spiritually. It's not in your mind. It's not in your understanding. But you know him spiritually. Faith. Trust. Confidence. That what God said in his word, he fulfilled. So it is a spiritual relationship. I tell you this. If you're going to grow, and if you're going to mature, you're going to come out of yourself, and you're going to learn more, not by your brilliance, not by my deductions, but you're going to learn more as the Spirit of God reveals the things of God to us. I make no apologies for saying that. We just read 2 Corinthians 5:15. Now look to verse 16. The very next verse in that same book and chapter. Look at this. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yet, though we have known Christ after the old man. We do not know him after the flesh. We know him after the spirit. And in knowing him, we know this one thing, that every bit of our resources are spiritual. You don't have anything. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how much you cherish your money. But I promise you, your money will perish with you. And no doubt about it. Our resources are spiritual. God loaned them to us. I still believe this scripture. I believe that the love of money is the root of all evil. If there's evil in your life, I can tell you, trace it back to money, the love of money. Everything we must come to understand is spiritual. Our resources are spiritual. Our warfare is spiritual. We do not fight flesh and blood. We don't take up arms and go out here and begin to engage people in conflict. Our battle is spiritual. We may not even see our enemy. I was praying again in my office the other day. God, stir me. God, I want you to wake me in the middle of the night like you used to. I want that spirit to prevail. I want that prayer life. I desire that. You know what? That is a great part of spiritual warfare. We fight not against flesh and blood, as I said. But guess what? Because of politics. Rulers of darkness. We have an enemy. We don't see him, but we fight him. I know some people haven't been in a sanctuary prayer in years. I'm going to preach to you about God's people in this present evil world. But I'm talking to those that are filled with the Spirit and those that have a desire to stay filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me sum it up this way. Everything has got to come to us from above. Do not be attached to this present evil world. God's cry was, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. I see what's going on. It's reached into every vestige of everything. I mean, you know it. It's there. In the middle of sports and everything else. I remember when sports was sports and the military was the military. You know, politics and all this mess didn't get into a lot of this. But I tell you what, it's invaded and it's taking over. I'm just simply saying, there's no part of society that is not engaged, in the evil that's in this world. Look at that. There is an effort of the enemy. And what he's trying to do again and again and again, and he's been so successful in this generation, it is to bring the things of God down to the attachment of the world. Oh, I'm saved. I'm just afraid of you. Are you questioning my salvation? They will say when you encourage them in the things of God. I've had people tell me, I'm saved. I've been saved. I'm right with God. I've always been right with God. Examine yourself whether you've been in the faith. Right? Examine yourself. When's the last time that you didn't examine your neighbor or your brother or your sister? When's the last time you examined yourself? And don't you do it with the light of God shining, God's revelation into our lives? I've got some things to say to you today, this morning and tonight, about God's people in this world. But I've got to get this said to us that everything the enemy does, and sometimes we do not even recognize what he's doing. But what he is doing is he is insulting the Word of God. God has given his plan. The enemy will come. He doesn't have anything else to fight with. He's a child of God. And so, to challenge the truth. How many of us can remember what happened to Adam and Eve? God said, of every tree of the garden, you can eat. But of that one tree, you can't. The devil come first to Eve, then to Adam, to speak to him. Did God say, take a bite? Did God say, the devil, the enemy, fighting our first plan? Did God say, you cannot eat that? Let me tell you that. He knows that when you do eat it, you'll be like him. You'll be like God. What the devil had done, he had fallen. He had sinned in heaven. And God had cast him out. He is the enemy of everything that is God. He's a blasphemer. He's a liar. My Bible tells me that he was a liar from the beginning. Everything that he does is to get us attached to the world. There is an allurement, there is a pleasure, there is something. Something. But I challenge you to go and read the book of John, the Gospel of John again, to see how that everything is Christ. Everything is to be lifted from the deep miry clay. It is to be lifted on high. The blood of Jesus is to wash and to cleanse and to purge and to sanctify. We're lifted out of this present evil world. Let me ask you this. We're in the world, where is Jesus? He's in heaven, right? And we are here. But according to the Word of God, though we're here, we're really not here. You get that? Love not the things of the world. Love not the world. Come out from among them. We've been bought with a price. We've been washed in the blood. We've been sanctified. He's in heaven, yes, at the right hand of the Majesty. Not here on this earth. But the one thing is, I'm on this earth, but God said, don't you ever let the earth get in you. Don't you ever. Don't you ever get attached to me. I understand. You know, I miss our men when they're at work. They have to work on a Sunday. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. They work because they have to work. I understand that. But that heart, that spirit, has got to be set wholly upon God. Even when you work, you get mad at the boss. Your day doesn't go well. He is kept in perfect peace, whose mind is saved upon the Lord. God is bigger than your boss. God is bigger than the battle which we fight. The Almighty. Everything is bound up with this one fact. That though I'm in this world, I'm not of the world. Let me ask you. When you think of the rich, the popular, the important, usually our minds go to some other industry, some other intelligence, you know, some movie star, some athlete, something else. I'm going to tell you something. Most of us that sit in this room today, to the world, we are unknown. We are unknown. Some people don't like that. So what are we? We that are born of God, we are a mystery. You didn't get it. Quote the scripture. I will show you a mystery. I will show you a mystery. That while you were yet dead in your sin, Christ died to be kept up. Let me tell you. While you were yet in your sin, Christ died to you. But Paul calls this new birth a mission. We are a mysterious people. We're not known. We're not recognized. They just, when they run into one of us, they call us the enemy. They just blame it all. But let me introduce you to the greatest force of people, the greatest power, the greatest authority. God said, if you call upon me, I will hear you. And if I hear you, I will answer you. Don't you go feeling sorry for me or anyone else that knows the Lord Jesus. As though we're some kind of an orphan out here somewhere. No. No, sir. We are the mighty army of the living God. We stand tall. And when we fight, we win. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against the powers of hell. It's against demons and devils. We fight. We may not be known. We may be hidden. We may be secret. We may be mysterious. As God said, we give you, I give you power over all. Give you power, Christopher, over all the power that God has. Sister Ruth has many friends in this area and knows some other places, but when we're talking about recognition, she's not known in that way. Yes, I tell you what. My name is Robert Earl Thomas. That's what my mom and my dad named me. But when I become a new creature, have a new name written down in glory. Come on, let's sing. There's a new name written down in glory. Y'all look like you're getting too comfortable. There's a new name written down in glory. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the wonderful things of the story, as the times come on. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. I tell you what, you did a good job singing that clip. Your hands into the Lord. You know, there was a time with the church in its beginning, there was no denominations. There were no whatever. Everybody's just born of God. What do we have now? Every church is like a mole. M-O-L-D. There's a pattern. There's a shape. There has to be a system. A system. It has to be crystallized. It has to be done this way. But there's no movement. God. There's no real roots to it. Just let the wind come along and blow it. And it'll fall over. Winston, I was using an example. That example was that you can take trees, and when you look at the tree, they all look the same. Right? I mean, they're tall, 50, 60 feet tall, whatever. Leaves, bark, trees. The breeze blows through them, and it looks real pretty, so green. Well, then a storm comes along, and one of those trees will fall over from the storm. Look, the rest of the trees remain. What happened to that one? What happened to that tree? You go look at it, and you find out that on the inside, there's no heart to it. There's no life to it. Have you ever seen that? A tree that says, I mean, on the outside, it looks pretty. On the outside, you send people like that with no heart, no life, no spirit. no relationship with God if you stand next to another Christian. But I will tell you, the biggest struggle that fights most people is the truth of the Word of God. I mean that it will come, and there will be a conviction. If you resist the conviction, one day when your truth goes over, it will just be happy. I don't want to be home. I want to be rich in God. I want to be happy. When you have this mold and you have this system and you have all of this stuff, you have that stuff. We believe what we believe because we believe the Word of God. But Jesus told the blind man, I'm going to spit you out. You took that spit and put it on the tongue and you can wash. God's ways are not our ways. As high above ours as the heavens are above the earth. I said to one of them, he just said, Jesus, how can I pay my taxes? He said, if you go in the first place, you take the money out of this man. If you told people to do things about that today, they would think that you was an idiot. Don't do anything that's not true. But molds, M-O-L-D-S, molds need to be broken. Systems need to be cracked. We're in an evil, 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 evil world. But we're the children of God. We breathe earth, atmosphere. We're here. But one day, every one of us is going to be that day. That's going to cease. Where are you going? It's all going to depend on how you live here when you do this. It's an evil world. There is no way to minimize what's going on in the earth. Do you know that I read on this iPad, in my office yesterday, that there is a Democratic congresswoman out of Maryland that suggested that every NFL player take a knee when they play the national anthem this Sunday. We got it. We're a nation of law. You can come from a foreign country and kill our citizens, and we'll put you in a sanctuary city. I've never seen it like this. But the main thing is if you remember when David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and when he was found out, what did he say to you? I'm that man based on God against you. And you only have a sin. He didn't say I sinned against Bathsheba. He had Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, killed. He didn't say I sinned against Uriah. Against you and you only have I committed this sin. Do you know what that means? That every sin you commit against God. I commit against God. And listen, do you ever just out of your relationship with Jesus Christ, do you ever repent? I do all the time. I repent. God, if I've had a fault, if I've done something to some individual, if I've mistreated, if I've disobeyed, whatever, forgive me, Lord. Show it to me. I won't do it again. This is an evil world, but we that are saved, we are a mixture of. We're not like the rest of it. There's a lot of this life that we cannot explain. As I said, Christ is in heaven. But if you look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where's Jesus? Huh? We just asked that question. Where is it? He's in heaven. Where are we? I just read you what Paul said by the Holy Ghost. We sit together in heavenly places in Christ. I don't get my directions for how I live my life from the Democrats or the Republicans or the Independents. not from the president, not from the vice president, not from the Congress, not from the Senate. I'm sitting in a different place. I am occupying a different chair. I have a different one that is there in my company, the Lord Jesus. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am sitting with Christ. Now I know physically I'm here. But I said there's only one way we can know Christ, and that's spiritually. So spiritually, I'm in heaven. It does not yet appear in those what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be just like Him. That's what it's all about. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that we all promise of God that while we're in this place, it's not home. It's not, we don't draw from it. Okay? What is God's purpose? I cannot show you where He says you're going to be a carpenter, mechanic, a preacher, secretary. And if three has the will in there, I'll be a preacher about meditation. I don't know, but I know where we are and wonderful we are. We are in Christ. Let me read you another scripture. Well, we read it as a text, Colossians 3:1. If, take it word at a time. Everybody say if. Everybody say ye. Then be risen with Christ. This is not for everyone. This is for the one that has been risen with Christ, made a new creation, born again. He went on to say, speak those things which are above. God has a purpose for us. I don't know what time it is. Life is an hour. This is not for us. But you never, if you're with a true believer, if you're with a Bible obeying saint of God, you never have to say it again. You've got to get that out. You've got to get that. That's not the right thing to do. Why are you doing that? Don't you know that's not right? You never have to say it to him one time. If there's anything there, the spirit of conviction, the spirit of conviction, you say, what do you mean? Your Bible tells you that your conscience will either accuse you or excuse you. There is nothing more precious in our lives than conviction. Let me give you some definitions. The word convict is not is in no way a bad word. It means to convince. When God convicts you, God is convincing you. God is not damning you and convicts you. He's trying to convince you. And I have a conscience. And at every inch of life, I believe, but there are times, we're either accused or excused. And we know it. We know it. Go in the grocery stores now where they have one of these cheap magazine stuff. There was a time when they had a board over it. You know, they'd be stacked up, they'd have to pull that board fast in. Now it's just floppy. Somebody said, now don't tell me that you don't commit to when you're looking for it. I try not to see it. I try not to look at it. Some people say, well, all I do is just read the headlines. Sure. If you take a person that you have to tell them, you shouldn't do that. You cannot go ahead and do that. All that you've got to do is read that person alone before God. Get them to God. Put them to a place with them and God. And the God that looks on the heart will bring a conviction. You'll never have to go to that person again. Just let us spend time with God. I'm going to continue to speak. And I want you to know that there have been some worse things that have gone on in society, but there has never, ever, ever. The Bible says that the whole world, the WHOLE world, lies in the wicked world. The devil is the prince and the power of the air. As the only creation of God, then he never called it good to come. But you know what? This earth is good. As we get attached to it, we love its pleasures and its ease and its comforts. If I go to church, I might have to listen to that man preach again. If I go to church, I'm probably going to get talked about again. I don't care if we're going there. If the Word of God is in your life and is the same thing to remind you of one another, it will be a light. If there's anything there, if God is in it, the light will shine. Let me give you my first thought for today. We're so anxious. People that are anxious, nervous, upset, afraid, worried about what is being done for us. If we call, my heart is not solely set upon Christ. God said, my peace I give to you in the midst of the forces of the world. My peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. I don't sleep. I don't slumber. My eyes are upon you. As a matter of fact, he said that you're the apple of his eye. This is an evil world. And what I've tried to preach to you this morning, I mean it, but God's people are not in it. We're in it, but we're not in it. All the musicians are coming. I think that we should rejoice. I think we should be happy. Yes, we're in an evil world, and things get worse. I know people that drive you crazy. You just don't understand what the trouble is. I saw this, I read that, you saw it, read it, whatever. But the thing is, you got attached to it. You're not listening to me. You got attached to it. You can see it and hear it, but not get attached to it. Take the whole world. If that's what you want, that's what you're after. Take it. I don't know. I don't know. Right? Take the whole world. Do you want?